I have on the phone with me Congresswoman Val Hoyle of our district here in Oregon. She is in D.C. right now. And Congressman Hoyle, I've been watching a lot of what's going on here. Can you make some sense out of what we're hearing currently on this budget crisis?
I'm not sure I can, but I can tell you what we're seeing, which is utter dysfunction. The Republicans are in charge of the House. They've had 2 years to get budgets done. We are now, about 10 hours away from a government shutdown. And the effects of a government shutdown are severe. What happened was a deal was made between leadership in the House, in the Senate, with Democrats and Republicans, and there was a bill that was ready to go to the floor. Apparently, and I've talked to some of my rank-and-file Republican colleagues, what they said was Mike Johnson and I think it was Steve Scalise and Tom Emmer were making a deal but didn't have the agreement of their caucus. So they went back to their conference, the Republican conference, who said they weren't voting for the bill. The bill was brought to the floor. 38 Republicans voted no. Now, this is the bill that was brought to the floor yesterday was not the agreement that the House, Senate, Republicans, and Democrats made. It was a completely different bill that, not even the Republicans had the votes for. So fundamentally, we're all frustrated. We all want to make sure the government stays open. Well, when I say we all, Democrats, we want the government to stay open. We do not want government employees to have to go to work without getting paid. We have Elon Musk that came in and put out on social media that Republicans needed to kill the bill or he would fund primaries against them, and they caved like a house of cards. We have this unelected man who's worth $400 billion saying it doesn't matter if government employees don't get paid because they have to come to work for essential services. He doesn't know what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck. He doesn't know what the last government shutdown was like when our Coast Guard employees were told that they could do dog walking or sell their blood for extra money. He didn't have to run the food banks for our TSA agents. And yet he's saying, it's fine, shut down the government. So it's been very frustrating. We're thinking there might be a bill coming up today that is clean, that does not include the debt ceiling, that would have disaster relief, that would have a farm relief, and would allow the government to stay open through March. And, we'll see what happens.
The reason, what do you see as the main reason why they caved? Obviously, you mentioned funding against them when they ran for office. But is there this sense that they're also worried about the incoming president and how they're going to be treated or if they're going to be given any kind of respect to their authority when he comes in?
You know, I'm not sure. This is so chaotic. Again, we have Elon Musk, an unelected billionaire, the richest man in the world, who helped Donald Trump pay for his campaign. He came out 24 hours before Donald Trump came in and said, by the way, don't pass the bill you agreed to, but add increasing the debt ceiling so that they can come in and just have massive tax cuts for billionaires and millionaires, their campaign donors, and not have to come to the floor of the House and while they're increasing the debt exponentially. And we're not willing to go along with that. That would be irresponsible. So it just is very chaotic. And even Republicans are going out to the media saying, I have no idea what's going on, and we're all very frustrated.
I can see from the standpoint, just us listening here to the national news and things like that, how we're sort of hanging our heads in disbelief that this could once happen again. Of course, we dealt with our Coast Guard here, and luckily our community reached out and supported the Coast Guard here and paid their food bills and paid their power bills and stuff like that. And right. I'm sure we'll do it again if we have to, but it's certainly we'd rather see the government come through.
Yeah, this is irresponsible. We came here to get a job done. We came here to go to work, and we had 2 years. We were ready. We were ready to work on budgets. You know, if the Republicans would just work with Democrats who are willing to compromise, I am one of them, then we'd actually be getting out of here, not kicking the can down the road, not just voting for a continuing resolution, but actually funding government and the important things for the next 2 years, while also making the kind of cuts that we need to make government more efficient and to be good stewards of taxpayer dollars. You know, the fact of the matter is we had worked really hard on the Fix Our Forest Act, on a lands package that was ready to come over from the Senate. That's dead, isn't part of anything. There is important disaster relief. You know, we've had almost 2 million acres burned last year in Oregon. We had the terrible ice storm that you all saw in Lincoln County and we had down in Lane County. We need that disaster relief. Farmers and ranchers need disaster relief. We can't afford to shut down the government. And again, we saw it. We saw what happened to our neighbors last time. We don't want that to happen again. And we actually need to pay for the things, the infrastructure, the important infrastructure investments, disaster relief, things that are critically important that we can all agree on. My Republican colleagues agree on it. But because they can't get their stuff together, we're here before Christmas. And I will stay as long as I need to vote to keep government open on a bill that is reasonable. And I'd rather be home with my family, but I got hired to do a job, and that means showing up. So I'll stay here as long as I need to.
The unfortunate thing is the last time you and I spoke, you seemed a lot more hopeful about how things were going to go. And it seems like some of that has been kind of not dashed, but say, you know, kind of made a difference in how you're feeling now. At least that's what it sounds like to me. And then the other thing is, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
And the other thing is, this sort of, we were talking this morning on the air about how this unelected person can come in here, and it sort of pulls the veil back on what everybody has said for years, that big business and big money is what is truly running the country.
Yeah, and that really is one of the most disturbing things, because, you know, even my Republican colleagues that are talking off the record have said that they were incredibly upset about Elon Musk, you know, weighing in and telling them what to do and forcing them to bend the knee. But every single one of them voted for the bill yesterday, right? There were 38 Republicans that did not vote for the bill that was brought to the floor. But when we have the richest man in the world coming in and crashing a bill because, you know, he says this is pork loaded and all that. Well, very interesting is that, you know, in that bill was a piece about doing business in China that affects Elon Musk. And interesting enough, so the provision was to restrict high-tech investment in China. And Musk is investing in Tesla factories over in China. That's not in any of the bills going forward. So if you don't think that this man has an agenda, you would be wrong. But he wasn't elected. Donald Trump was elected. I didn't support him, but I do respect the voters' will. So he will be the next president-elect. He didn't weigh in until 24 hours after Elon Musk had blown up this bill. So we should all be very, very concerned about, you know, who my Republican colleagues are taking their cues from, because it certainly isn't the American people.
Is there anything that the voters here that you want them to know that they could do to affect this? Obviously, we have your ear on this, but, you know, where can it go from there? I guess it won't even go to the Senate yet till it gets through the Congress.
You know, I am hopeful. I know that I just met with Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries, and he has said that this morning Mike Johnson did call him. But it's a little difficult when you have Mike Johnson and his two senior leadership members in a room, right, with McConnell, with Schumer, with the appropriations chairs, right, with Susan Collins and Rosa DeLauro, so Republicans and Democrats in the room, Senate and House, they made a deal. They shook on the deal. There were things I didn't like. There were things I did like. We walked out ready to uphold our end of the bargain, and then he caved. So now when he comes up and says, well, please do this, and I assure you I'll do this other thing, how do we trust him? He can't trust his word. This was the same thing that happened with Kevin McCarthy. What I fear is because now the Republican conference is so split. Again, 38 members of his conference voted no on the bill that the speaker brought to the floor yesterday, increasing the debt ceiling. And, you know, I don't know that he's going to get the votes, and we may end up here another week trying to get a speaker again. But what does concern me greatly is that an oligarch, a billionaire, an unelected person who stepped in to buy our elections is calling the shots. And that should concern everyone, because I assure you, he is not looking out for the working people like we have in the 4th Congressional District. This is a man who was born with a silver spoon in his mouth and doesn't understand at all the fights that we have as everyday working people.
Congresswoman Hoyle, thank you so much for this update. It's greatly appreciated. We'll get this news out to folks, and maybe by the end of the day, things will change. You know, feel free to let me know, and we'll pass it on if it does.
Okay, we will do. We'll keep in touch, and thank you so much for providing this forum. Really appreciate you.
All right. Thank you, Congresswoman Hoyle.
All right. Bye-bye.